Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How are we feeling about 2026?
Pretty good.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's a big year for us.
It's a big year for us. I'm actually really excited. And, you know, as much as we've talked about this, I don't support the new year happening in the middle of winter.
Correct. Hard agree.
Yeah.
I support you not supporting
Thank
this.
You. Yeah. but, you know, this is a year I'm looking forward to. So it's like the most tolerable I've ever found it to be.
Me too. Yeah. For sure. But exciting things. This is the year we get to see each other twice, which is so fun.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
At our respective nuptials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll be wives this time next year. A pair of wives.
We're changing the name of the show to A Pair of Wives.
People will be so confused. Like, what? What's it about? We just talk about.
Just pets still. It's still animals and pets.
Pets still, but just wives talking about pets.
It's important that you know our marital status, right, when we get into it.
I turned 30 this year as well. That's
fun. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, I join you in the decade once more.
Is that what happens to? Or is that what happens to everyone? is that your Saturn return? Is that when you turn
30? I'm coming to the end of it, but yeah, nearly. I've been in it for a while. Do you know, I really think the Saturn returns get a bad rap. I think everyone handles it. Everyone goes into it with quite a negative mindset because like change and upheaval feels scary. Right. But I feel like I've had a great Saturn return because I was just like, yeah, bring it. Like, let's see what's going on. Like, I'm ready to be a whole new person. I'm ready for this new chapter.
Yeah.
And I've had a great time. I've had a great Saturn return.
Yeah.
It's been super positive.
You know, it feels to me a thing I like to think about. I find nice where like, you know how you're like, your cells are constantly replenishing and you know, you're sort of, I think like, I mean, eventually that happens so much that like all your skin is new skin.
Yeah.
And it's sort of that, but you know, spiritually.
Totally. No, that's actually such a good way of looking at it. Yeah. I so agree with you.
It's like, still you, but you've just been replenished.
Yeah. I feel weirdly like, I know, I think a lot of people say this, but I feel a bit like I've sort of reverted. Like I took a detour away from myself. Like I was really myself in like my early teen years.
Ooh, interesting.
And then I began to take a bit of a detour away. And now I've sort of come back and I'm like, I feel closer to who I was at like 13 than who I was at like 19 or 20, weirdly. Yeah.
What changed in the detour that feels not like you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think as a kid, I was actually like so stubbornly contrarian to kind of make a point that I really genuinely didn't care what people thought of me.
Right.
And I think because I was never like in the cool, popular crowd at school, I just resigned myself to the fact that I wasn't going to be cool or popular. And it was really liberating. Yeah. So like, I was very like, content being my like dorky self as a teen and just like liking the things I liked regardless of what other people thought.
Yeah.
And I think somewhere in my like late teens, 20s, I started caring a little bit more and I don't know, almost not trying to fit in, but I think that maybe the boundaries of what were cool and what weren't cool became a little grayer. And then I sort of started to chase it a little bit in a way.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, and I also think that we got a lot of like confusing discourse around like productivity, like is being productive good or bad? Is there a way to be productive and it be a good thing? And I do think there is.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I was so like focused and productive, but in a way that was like for myself.
Right.
And then I think that I started to be a bit like, no, I'm just not going to like try at anything because it just feels sort of easier to not try anything. But there was kind of like a moral association to not really trying. It was like anti-hustle culture, but kind of in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yes. And it's like being anti-hustle culture doesn't mean that you don't like make an effort or be disciplined or do anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think now I'm coming back to being like, actually, I can be disciplined in a way that like really serves me.
Yeah.
And I can put a lot of effort in a way that really serves me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like, it's just funny. I'm like looking back at 13-year-old me like, you were right, kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cute, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but 30 looks fun. I've always said that. I've always felt really positive about 30.
Yeah.
Everyone I know that's in their 30s is having a great time.
It's great. I remember growing up and people being like, oh, 30, so old and all of that, right? And A, it's not old, but also like, like that comes from a place of insecurity. And once you're 30, you go, I don't care.
Like, yeah.
Whatever. I'm not old. It's fine. Like, I know how it feels now. And it's like laughable that like, to fear the age. It's like, yeah, yeah. Guess what? Nothing happens when you turn 30 where you're suddenly old. Like,
no.
Just another number.
For sure. And 30 kind of feels younger than ever before anyway, it's just because like everyone is hitting milestones later and later.
Yes.
You know, I always think that I was 10 when my mom was 30, and that's like insane.
Whoa. That's like, crazy.
Isn't it crazy? Imagine having a 10-year-old.
I can't. I can't.
No, me neither. I have a 5-year-old cat and she's enough work.
Yeah, truly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was thinking like Maud is 13. Oh, I guess.
So you have a whole teenager. I was 13. My mom was your age. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
And she is your firstborn and I am the firstborn as well.
It's true.
So.
It's true.
You know.
Wow.
How's Maud doing?
Maud is good. Maud's been obsessed with the couch. Like, she, I know that sounds odd, but like she used to like loaf about in different parts of the house all the time. Often was in the room that I'm in now. She loved to be in the office. But like lately, she is on the couch like 24/7. And it's very funny because she's like, it's just become Maud's cat. It's like, oh, I was going to sit here and watch TV, but I see that you're like sprawled. Like, she loves to like lay on her back and just like.
What? Stretch?
Yeah, I guess. Just like full, like all arms, just like taking up as much space as possible and just like sleep like that. And so you're like, wow, I guess. And so she's just been, that's where she's been. She's still around and still like healthy, doing great. Let's see, Millie also doing great. No notes on her.
Good.
Cricket and Crumb, great. Oh, here's what I got to talk about. And some of you may have seen if you follow me on Instagram, you might have seen the video footage, but over the Christmas break, we were hanging out with Grant's family and our niece, who is like a year and a half, or no, she's almost two now. And for Christmas, she got one of those little like push, like it's a little car that gets pushed by your parent and you like pretend you're driving in it. And she had gotten tired of using it, so they were just carrying her. And Crumb, we were on a long walk, and Crumb kept doing the thing where he like we'd walk a little bit and then he'd lay down, and I was like, okay, you're tired. This walk's too long for you. And I was like, wait, can we try putting Crumb in the car? And they're like, yeah, load him in. And he like kind of barely fit because it's not designed for a dog. But then we put him in and he was just chilling. He loved that little car.
Amazing. It's such a good video. It's so good. I saw it and then immediately texted Lex. I was like, you need to send me the full video right now.
He's like in the video too. You catch him like he kind of like is barking, but in a way that's like woo.
Like, he's having exactly that energy. Like he's having a great time, he's
loving it. So that's basically 2026 Crumb drives now is how I think of it. Getting his learner's permit. And that's kind of my pet. How's Percy? How did Percy handle the holidays?
Oh, bless my sweet girl. She did so well.
Did.
Like Christmas Day was a whole lot for her. I think I mentioned I hosted like my whole family. There was 18 people in my house. It was a lot.
That's a lot.
And the dining room, like, she really likes to hang out in the dining room normally. Like, she has a little bed right next to the radiator. So that is where, that's where she is right now. Like, it's where she spends all her time. Particularly in the cold, she just, like, gets in, gets real cozy and just sleeps all day. And, like, her food is there. And I kind of had to move everything out for Christmas Day. And she was not happy at first. She hissed at me at one point, and I was like, I know, I'm so sorry. Like, I know this is a lot for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, she actually did so well. Like, she basically, anytime she was overstimulated, she would just, like, take herself outside for a little minute. And then she would just get back in her very tall cat tree and watch proceedings from a safe height. Like, and that's sort of how she handled it, by like keeping high up and out of the way.
That's good though.
Yeah. And then the week after Christmas, I got sick. I had tonsillitis. Yeah. So Boxing Day, I started to feel a bit like, ooh, I don't know, man. And by the 27th, I was like the most ill I've been in genuinely like 10 years. It was so rough. And Percy was delighted. She was like, you mean you're not going anywhere? You're just in bed all the time? Excellent.
Yeah.
And she just spent the whole time like in bed next to me. She loved it. It was really sweet. Like, there's a picture, I'm going to show you this photo of her, where she's like, this is not a picture I will ever post on social media because I'm like ill in bed.
Yeah.
But she's like guarding me in a very, very cute way. And it's like, I'm asleep and Michael's obviously come in to check on me, and she's just sat on me like,
oh, yeah.
Just like guarding me, right? She's fully just like, no one disturb her.
It also looks like kind of fake. There's something about that photo that looks like photoshopped.
It looks like I've edited her in, but I swear she just sat like that. So she really enjoyed the peace and quiet of me being sick and just getting to chill out with me afterwards.
Yeah.
And now she's fuming because it's cold outside. So she doesn't want to go out there, but she also is annoyed being cooped up. So she gets a bit grumpy.
Yeah.
Over that. But she's mostly fine. She just really enjoys the radiator being on.
Yeah.
It's the first time she's had a bed this close to like a source of heating.
Oh, yeah.
So she's like, this is great. Like proper cozy mode.
Oh, a thing that we brought up earlier that I want to bring up is that Percy hates the snow.
She does. She does indeed. Yeah, she's not a fan. We've had a bit of snow here and she's like ventured out into it a little bit, and then she's got her little paws cold and wet, and then she like scurries.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to take the dogs to see how they react to it. I want to know. I think Cricket will hate it. He hates being cold, but I'd like to see it still.
Yeah. Like, there are a lot. I mean, I see cats like going out and about in the snow, and I'm like, oh, Percy, like, it could be fun for you. But I just don't think she's like, she's not for it.
No.
She's like a warm weather girl.
Yeah.
Well, through.
And like, I think Cricket would hate it. He's, you know, I mean, he's of Mexican descent. It's not that cold where he's from. But you know those videos of like the little like a snow fox jumping through the like they pop their little heads out and they dive in.
Yeah.
I want that for Cricket because he looks like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think
it would be really cute, really, but cute. I just don't think.
I don't think that happens.
And I think I could see Crumb maybe enjoying the snow slightly more, but he isn't quite as bouncy.
No, he's not as bouncy. I think he'd be more walrus-like in the snow. Sort of almost swim on top of it is what I imagine happening.
Yeah, sure. I see that for Crumb.
So this episode of Comfort Creatures, the podcast, which is what you're listening to right now.
Welcome guys.
Welcome.
Hi, happy new year from Comfort Creatures.
Yeah, happy new year. We are going to talk about it is the Chinese zodiac year of the fire horse. We're going to talk about that, and then Ella, you're going to talk about the hippocampus.
I am not the part of the brain, the mythological creature, because The Chinese New Year starts in February, mm-hmm. which makes far more sense. Mm-hmm. And so it's technically still the year of the snake.
Yeah.
Up until February.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's the year of the horse.
Yeah.
So a hippocampus is a snaky horse. So that's Perfect. What we're going to talk about.
Okay. I think we should just get into it. Okay. So I have kind of huge news for myself. Mm. And the huge news is that I did not realize what you had just mentioned, which is that the Chinese New Year does not follow the Gregorian calendar. And so if you are just looking at the Chinese menu of zodiac creatures on like at a restaurant, my entire life, I thought I was a goat or a sheep. We've talked about it on this podcast when we were like first talking about this. But.
Of course.
But my birthday is in early February. And so certain years are different. Like some are in January, some are in February. It just depends on the year. But my year.
It's lunar, isn't it? So it depends on the moon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so 1991, February is after my birthday. So I'm not a goat. I'm a horse.
Love it for you.
This is my year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I am a metal horse is what I learned.
Wow. That's fun.
And I truly, this really blew my mind, even though I rarely think about my Chinese zodiac. Like, I don't know how often we're all thinking about it, but I really was like, wow, this is a big, like, it's like suddenly learning. I don't know. It's just like a thing that I've really internalized my entire life. Like, even though you're just like, you know, whatever, but like, yeah, I'm a goat. When I like, that's just like, when I think about it, that's what I think of. And I was like, I've been wrong.
Do you feel different now that you have this information?
Yeah, I do.
You feel changed?
I feel changed. Kind of dumb, like confirmation bias part of my brain was like, that makes sense. I am more of a horse.
Sure.
kind of like stronger, more like, capable in the world, more confident, more mysterious. Yeah,
100%.
That's more me.
Like a wild Frisian, you know, just galloping on the shores.
That's more me. and like there was all these things that like I was just reading. When you're looking them up, there's always like a list of lucky things, and this one was chilling to me. The lucky numbers for the horse are 2 and 7, and those are my numbers. Like. That's my birthday, 2/7.
Nice.
That's
my birthday
weight. I was 7 pounds, 2 ounces.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
Is that weird?
So you were 7'2 on 2/7. Mm-hmm.
And I was almost born at 2/07. I was born at 2/03. But God, imagine how powerful.
Still though.
But yeah, so I was kind of like, wow, I really am a horse. 2/7. I've always known.
I didn't know there were lucky numbers to maybe I should check mine.
Yeah, you should check yours.
That's really cool.
Yeah. There's lucky numbers, lucky colors, lucky directions, and lucky flowers. So
wow.
Okay, yeah.
Cool.
So in honor of it being the year of the horse and also the year of me, really. I figured we should learn a little bit about it. So I guess to start, in case you haven't heard our past episodes about any of the zodiac. The Chinese zodiac are based on a myth about a race that took place. And so I'm going to sum it up. Basically, it was a race hosted by the Jade Emperor, and there were 12 animals invited to cross a river and earned the zodiac year order, basically. Ella, do you want to talk about who was first?
The rat was first. That's me. You have the rat. The rat was first. The rat wins all. The rat is the cleverest. I did want to talk about it. It's like my proudest thing. Like anytime it comes up, people are like, oh, the rat. And I'm like, we won.
We're the best.
We won.
I mean, also, could you, okay, knowing that, imagine how you felt if one day you found out you weren't a rat.
Yeah, no, I'd be raging. I'd be like, what do you mean I'm a loser? I really pinned my identity to that rat.
See?
I'm like, yeah, always thinking, working like, smart, not hard.
Yeah, it's like the other thing I think about that often, but when I do, I've just internalized, like, yeah, I'm a goat, whatever. But
yeah.
No. Anyway, okay, so the rat wins, and the rat does so by convincing the ox to carry him. And then just before the finish, the rat jumps off the ox to win.
Smart, not hard. Smart, not hard.
And then after that, you get the tiger and the rabbit. Tiger comes in third, rabbit in fourth. They just ran fast. The dragon, who could fly, he helped to stop some villagers along the way. So he should have won, but he was busy.
He was kind.
The snake and the horse are next. And the snake does some rat behavior. The snake hides in the horse's hoof and startles it at the end. And so I go, whoa, a snake! Snake pulls in right in front of me. And I get seventh place. But again, lucky number seven.
Yeah, but then not only is that snaky of the snake, but it's also like not that efficient because like the snake didn't win, the rat won.
Yeah, why? You should have hopped on the ox with the rat. What are you doing?
Mm.
And then after that, you get the goat, monkey, and rooster who work together to take a log across. They have a little oar, very clever teamwork, good for them. Then you get the dog. The dog stopped for a swim. And then last, you get the pig who stopped to eat and rest and then showed up.
That's so funny.
There's also a fun little myth about the cat not being there. People like to point this out. And
where is the cat?
So apparently
the cat didn't want to swim. The cat was like, no.
Well, here's what happened. The cat was taking a nap and his friend, the rat, had promised that he would wake him up before they left. Mm. And the rat didn't. And so this is supposed to explain the forever feud between cats and rats.
I see. Yeah. So it's why cats are always chasing rats to
like
seek their revenge.
Yeah,
for that they're
waking up and they wanted to be part of the Chinese zodiac. So here's what you need to know about the year of the horse. The horse is confident, agreeable, and responsible. Although they also tend to dislike being reined in by others, they're fit and intelligent, adoring physical and mental exertion. They're decisive, but also easily swayed and impatient, which there's a lot of words there. Whatever.
I think you're a lot of those things.
I don't think I adore physical, well, and mental exertion. Mental exertion, sure, I love a puzzle, but
yeah, there's a lot of, you like a puzzle.
A lot of it was like, they love to be physical. And I was like, ah.
You walk the dog.
Yeah, that's true. I walk the dog.
That's daily physical commitment. That's great.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
We were talking about how you've been really good at getting your steps in lately.
That's true. I have been getting my steps in.
So that's also physical.
This is true. And this is the year of the fire horse specifically. And I did want to mention what fire means also.
Mm.
And I made.
Yeah, because I'm a fire rat.
Okay.
So I was like curious.
So this applies to you. And I think it's very funny. I love this description. It says, people born in a year of fire might have ruddy and glowing complexions with pleasant voices that carry easily.
Well, that.
Okay.
You know, a ruddy and glowing complexion, but the pleasant voice that carries easily never has a truer thing been said of me.
It's pleasant.
Loud mouth.
Okay. They tend to be rather thin, as if they are constantly burning off energy with their endless activity and refuse to sit still for long.
No.
Okay. All right.
No. I mean, I do think that I burn off energy just by being permanently stressed.
Yeah.
But I love being sat down. I absolutely love it. I'm always sat still.
Yeah.
I have like hip aches because I am just sat still the whole time.
Okay. How about this part though? They speak in a rush and may not wait for others to speak before moving on. Temperamentally, they are quick to anger, but they never hold a grudge and expect the same from those around them. You feel like you hold a grudge?
I do hold a grudge. Yeah, I do hold grudges. I do. Yeah. I am also quite quick to anger, but I do also hold a grudge. I'm working on it, though.
She cried. They are enthusiastic, active, and assertive, which makes them valuable members of a team. In love, natives of the fire element will want to take on the role of the hunter. Man or woman, people possessing characteristics of this element will proactively go after their heart's desire.
Yeah, sure. That fits.
Yeah, I mean, those are kind of the highlights. You're burning all the time, so you've got, you know, passions and
this under, yeah,
you know,
this is good, because if you line this up with my other zodiac, my astrological zodiac,
yeah.
I don't have a lot of fire in my birth chart, but I do think I have certain fiery elements, so maybe it comes from the Chinese zodiac, you know, maybe that's where it's from. What about metal? What does that mean?
Yeah, everyone's begging to know. You're right.
Yeah, everyone's desperate to know what a metal horse is. Steely Steed, that is great.
Steely Steed, wow, okay. Those born in the year of metal element may appear almost too dazzling to behold.
No, is this actually what you've read?
Literally what it said. It's literally what it said.
You're too dazzling.
You can't even look at me. I'm just shining.
No, it's like Edward Cullen in sunlight.
Yeah,
like,
I shimmer a little bit.
Shimmering hurts to look at you.
Oh, interesting. They're considered attractive by any standard, possessing even a voice that is especially pleasant to hear. So also a pleasant voice.
Well, that's great that we're podcasting.
Let's see. They're decisive and courageous.
I think you're attractive by any standard.
Well,
I would say that's true.
I may be human, but I think I'm hideous to a dog.
So. No, and I do. Cricket and crumb adore you. Yeah, what are you talking
about? Little tiny ears and a snout for nothing. What is this? Yeah, that's some. Okay, let's see. What is my These are so funny to read. They sound crazy. Okay, due to their attractive, it's really like it's very vain. It's like they're hot people and metal people. It says due to their attractive appearance and demeanor, those with metal characteristics may often find themselves the object of desire. They end up in relationships without too much doing on their part. But when it comes to settling down in a long-term relationship, they will usually draw the line unless they feel ready. Which, true.
Yeah.
I'll say that part.
That makes sense for you.
So those are sort of those things. And then...
just like so gorgeous, can't be tamed.
Can't be
like,
tamed
that's
unless,
what...
you know, I want to. It's, I guess, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm a gorgeous stallion. And,
yeah,
you know, if I want to... you know, settle down and sleep for the night. It's going to take some, you know, I got some bucking to do first. And I came out crazier than I meant it to.
Is Grant also, are you the same age? Is Grant also a metal horse? No,
no, he is a monkey. I don't remember what element, but yeah.
Monkey. Okay, cool.
He's working on that log. Okay, and so if you're not a horse this year, though, don't worry. It's still a good year for you, because the year of the fire horse is a time for everyone to take decisive steps, new beginnings, and shaking off restrictions. So kind of everyone should kind of take on the horse characteristics that they've always wanted, you know, be bold. It says this is a year of breaking free, exploring, and moving forward with confidence and passion. And I do think that's how horses move. Like, well, it's actually really funny to see a clumsy horse. So there's also that. But
they're kind of clumsy when they're little, right?
Yeah.
When they're all gangly. Like, that's like, adorable, woo. Though.
Yeah. So it's about bold moves, taking risks. What else? Responsibility. Okay. It says the challenge is to channel this energy wisely, acting with intention, and balancing freedom within commitment. So I think that's good. I think they're pretty nice, you know, group affirmations for the year. You know, we can all be bolder and channel it wisely.
Yeah, I think those are great things to aspire to.
Yeah. And it says it's the fire horse, the element adds passion and intensity. So it's a good time for dramatic change or self-reinvention. If you're like, you're not happy with your life, your fire horse is the year to kind of do it, apparently.
Nigh.
Or Nigh. Don't if you don't want to.
I was thinking about like what is a fire horse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like what does that mean? I guess the only thing I could think of was maybe something akin to the horses that pull Apollo's chariot in Greek mythology, like something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, not fire exactly because it's sun, but they seem like fiery horses.
Definitely. I agree. Also, the Pokemon Rapidash is a fire horse.
I wish I knew what that meant.
She's stunning.
But I will check with Michael, who's super into Pokemon. So.
Let Michael know that it's a year of Rapidash, and I think he'll really be happy.
He will be really happy, yeah. I'll tell him that. He will really enjoy that.
Has anyone else had the experience of not realizing your zodiac was different? Because when I posted on social media about this already, but when I did that, I did get somebody else being like, this same thing happened to me, and it actually like felt insane. And I was like, thank you. Okay. Like,
I reckon that my little sister will have a similar thing, yeah, because she's late January.
Oh yeah.
And I think she would have just assumed that she's the same as the rest of January. Yeah. I'm going to have to tell her.
Yeah. Just, you got to check. You have to check.
I think so. That means, okay, hold on. No, let me see. So she's, wait. Yeah. So she's 2002, which, yeah, makes me want to be sick. just anyone that's born after 2000, I start to get a bit like...
2002. Yeah, the cutoff is February 12th in 2002, I think.
Right, okay. So she's a water... So the February 12th onwards, water horse.
Yeah.
But before that, so she'd be the same as 2001, yeah. Metal snake.
She's a metal snake.
Sorry. That's really funny,
isn't it,
to me that she's a metal snake. But it's specifically gold, apparently.
Oh.
Is that a thing? Specifically,
I didn't know. Wait, is mine?
Did you? I don't know. Have a look.
Hello, what's mine? Okay, wait. Metal. How did you find that?
I don't know. It just said gold. I'm gonna tell my sister right now.
Yeah.
Hi. Hello. I'm recording Comfort Creatures right now, and we're looking at Chinese Zodiac, and I just feel like you should know that we always thought that you were a horse because 2002 is the year of the horse, but actually the cutoff is the beginning of February, so you're actually a snake. Ha ha. It's quite funny.
It's really funny. I can't find my like metal specification like you did.
It just said, I don't know, it just said it when I look. Okay. Well... Okay. If anyone else has had a similar thing, is a January or early February person, let us know. Does your new one resonate with you more now?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It feels similar to like, you know, if you found out you had the wrong birthday the whole time and your astrology sign was different than you thought. And like, that feeling is weird.
No, for sure. I'd be really, if someone turned around and was like, you're not a Pisces, yeah, I'd be like, my life is a lie.
Imagine you being an Aries.
No, it just doesn't fit, does it? Just not right.
No.
It's just not. No. No. Also because my mother is an Aries and I'm just really familiar with Aries energy, and it just isn't me. No offense, Mom.
Yeah. But you'd feel betrayed if. Yeah, anyway.
For sure. Yeah. Well, so on the subject of that weird transition period then.
Yes.
The hippocampus feels like a fun one to talk about because it is part serpenty thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's part serpent, sometimes it's part fish, depends where you look, and part horse. I like a mixed creature. Mm-hmm. I really do. It just feels very creative. That's always been cool to me.
Yeah.
So also they are related to the Capricornus, the sea goat.
Yes.
So they're kind of considered, I don't know, mythological cousins.
Yeah.
Of a kind, I think.
And it's Capricorn season right now. So happy Capricorn season.
Exactly. Happy Capricorn season to all of our Capricorns. One funny thing about the hippocampus is that ancients believed that they were the adult form of the seahorse.
Oh.
And that they just like stopped coming above water and stopped being as easy to find when they reached full grown.
Yeah.
So they thought that all seahorses were babies and then the hippocampi were the fully grown ones, which I just think is hilarious.
Yeah, that's really fun.
I kind of wish that were true. Yeah. That would be so cool. They did literally just become a horse. They were also considered to be the mounts of the Nereids, which are sea nymphs. I spent a lot of time reading about sea nymphs because of Andromeda.
Yeah.
So they are the 50 daughters of Nereus, who is the old god of the sea, who's a titan, and Doris, who was a daughter of Oceanus, who was a river titan. So Nereids are able to live in both salt and fresh water, but they prefer salt water, and they ride the hippocampus. Cool. Though some do like to ride dolphins, depends on the myth. You know, whatever your preference is.
Yeah, I mean, depends on the myth, depends on the nymph, you know? What are they?
Totally, like? Right? Like, it depends on the day, you know? just whatever the mood strikes.
Yes.
They're a really popular symbol of Poseidon. He tends to have, that most of Poseidon's imagery is like him being drawn in a chariot by white horses, but there are some with him being drawn by Hippocampi. And then there are a few fine references to Hippocampi in various Greek stories. For example, in the story of Jason and the Argonauts, they come across Amphitrite, who is the queen of the sea, Poseidon's wife, and she's riding Hippocampi.
Hmm.
Generally, if a Hippocampi is seen, it's like a symbol of Poseidon's strength, or Poseidon being on your side. The idea that the sea is the womb of Poseidon's bride, Amphitrite, and the Hippocampi kind of being the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like her servants coming to save you. So
right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well,
I checked, because as we were talking about this, when the part of the brain being called the hippocampus, I was like, wait, why is it called that? And it's because it looks like one. That part is like a little S shape. And they thought that it resembled the upright swimming sea creature from Greek mythology.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And looking at it, it does. It really looks like one. So it's nice to think about there's a little hippocampus swimming around in our brains.
Yeah. That is really cool.
Yeah.
I wish we had more body parts named after mythical creatures.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
That'd be great.
In the one of my favorite parts of Mythos by Stephen Fry.
So good.
Is all of the little kind of asides he has about like roots of words and how like hermetic seal leaning back to Hermes. Like all these like little things, you're like, oh my god, of course. But I love
so good.
Those, so yeah.
So yeah, that's the sea horse fish snake thing.
Just rolls right off the tongue. Yeah.
Doesn't it?
I'm Jordan Cruciola, host of Feeling Seen, where every week I have a different actor, director, or writer as my co-host. And whoever that co-host may be, it is a sure bet that we are digging deep and having a great time doing it.
I love that you just said that.
Yeah, I mean, if I were going to join a cult, I think this might be it.
A fresh look at your favorite film and a peek behind the curtain at how movies get made.
Oh, okay, I'm going to tell you this whole story.
Okay,
I almost got fired from that movie.
You should be listening to Feeling Seen.
I had so much fun. I love what you're doing.
I hope I did okay.
New episodes every week on Maximum Fun.
On Judge John Hodgman, the courtroom is fake, but the disputes are real.
Brian would say, I'm the Gumby of this family. He's just not.
Claiming to be Gumby is an un-Gumby-like claim.
No, it's just Gumby and I being our authentic selves.
So what's your complaint? Too many sauces?
There are no foods on which to put the sauces.
Have we named all the sauces on the top shelf yet?
Not even close.
You economize when it comes to pants.
Truly, it's not about the cleanliness of the pants.
Well, why isn't it? This is what I want to know. Judge John Hodgman. Fake court, weird cases, real justice. On MaximumFun.org, YouTube, and everywhere you get podcasts.
Okay, we also got a email from Amanda that I'm going to kind of, is basically a ready, pick, go, except that it's the way that Amanda used her cats in her wedding, and I think it's really cute, so I'm going to read. All right. Hello, comfort creatures. Some episodes back, Ella was mentioning how she wanted Persephone to be involved in her wedding. but it might not be an ideal environment for her. Just wanted to throw in what me and my husband did for our two cats when we got married in May 2024. As you both have weddings coming later this year, congrats. Feel free to use this idea or just come up with your own thing entirely. I'm not your mom. We had programs for the day, which included the seating charts, facts about us, and the itinerary. Most importantly, we included a section titled Celebrating from Home with some pictures of our cats. Their names are Alfin and Ophelia. I will give 1,000 bonus points to anyone if they guess which fictional characters they're named after. Me and my husband wanted to acknowledge them in some way, but we knew that they would be miserable if we brought them to the venue. Plus, me and my husband would be worried about them the entire time versus us enjoying ourselves the day of. As much as we would have wanted them to celebrate with us, they were much happier being in a quiet home.
I have a picture of the babies, mine and my husband's nickname for them, as well as what they look like on our program. Alfin is the grey tabby and Ophelia is the calico. They're littermates and just turned 3 this past October. I love them both very much and will take any opportunity to showcase them to anyone who would appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time to read this. I unfortunately have no suggestions when it comes to training dogs, but best of luck to Crumb and Cricket. Hopefully they can join in on your ceremony, Alexis. You can do it. Amanda. P.S. Our photographer is million.photo on Instagram. Got to give her credit for the program picture. All the others are taken by me and my husband. P.P.S. Our cats are named after two of the main... Wait, did you know this already?
I didn't know. Did you?
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Let's pause. I will pause here. Has anyone guessed what the characters are? Anyone?
Okay.
Our cats are named after two of the main characters from the video game, Octopath Traveler, in case you were curious.
Yeah.
And then there's... I love this it's program.
Cute. It's really cute.
It's really cute. It's a really good idea, actually. Yeah. I was thinking about, yeah, maybe having some kind of image of Persephone on the invite, but mm-hmm. the program is a great idea too. So I love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's great. And thank you for saying that I can do and I can train the dogs.
Yeah. The pictures look so cute. Like the little, they just look very chic.
Yes.
You know, those cats, they look very chic cats.
Yeah, there's like a curtain draped behind them. They look nice. They look good.
We also call Persephone the baby. Like I will regularly say to Michael, like, where's the baby?
Yeah.
I think that at some point when I start having more parent friends, that's going to get annoying.
Yeah, well.
I don't care.
I don't care. I loved having, what was her name? One of our guests a long time ago. She's an author and also she does like volunteer pet grief counseling.
Yes, Jackie.
Yes. One of the things that she said that I think about all the time was she was like, people said like when I had kids that like, oh yeah, well the pets will kind of fade away. It's going to be different. You're going to see. And she was like, and that wasn't true. I still love my pets. Like, and I was like, thank God.
Yeah. And she was like, and my kids also just really love my pets too. Like it's just,
doesn't have to be like that. You can just love multiple things. You're capable.
Totally. Totally. I also think that that's how I'm going to be. Like, I love my cat so damn much. Like, just the best girl in the world.
Yeah. Like, they're the best.
No. Also, like, no tea, no shade to my future children, but I always knew I wanted a cat and I haven't always known that I want kids. So.
True, same. Honestly.
Just saying.
Same. Wow. Yeah. Sorry. You were sort of...
Sorry, kids.
Second in line.
I wavered. But my love for cats has been unwavering.
Yeah, true. Okay, great. Well, happy 2026 again to my fellow horses.
Year of Alexis, Matt.
Yeehaw. And anything else that we need to say?
No, I think yeehaw is a great place to end it.
Yeehaw, all right. I've been Alexis B. Preston.
I've been Ella McLeod.
Maximum Fun, a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.